The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You can turn to hymn 364 or 365 if you would like, but I want to read you a verse from that hymn. Let me find the verse here. Well, we know the little Lord Jesus, away in a manger. It says that the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Does that sound real? Have you ever known a baby who did not cry some? Some babies seem to cry more than others, complain more than others, and some are very even-tempered. Nothing seems to faze them, but every baby cries. The baby cries when he or she is hungry, when he or she is wet, needs changing, when he or she is frightened, when he or she is in pain. I do not believe that that hymn is theologically and biblically correct there. Because if that were the case, Jesus in Gethsemane would have looked upon his upcoming crucifixion, his suffering, his passion, and his death with total equanimity. He would not have prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away from me." He would not have hungered. He would not have thirsted. He would not been tired, needed to sleep. He would not have been able to bleed. Indeed, he would not have cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" If he was a baby, without human emotions, human feelings, human sensitivity to pain and sorrow, just like us. So I think we can safely say that the little Lord Jesus did cry. Because in this evening's gospel reading, we have the account, the brief account in one verse of probably the first pain that Jesus felt. It's certainly the first blood that he shed. When he was circumcised, you know what that is? This was a ceremony, a Hebrew sacrament, which God had told Abraham and his descendants to perform on newborn males on the eighth day after their birth. And then God gives the same commandment to Moses. It is in the Old Testament law, all male babies must be circumcised on the eighth day so they can have a part in God's people Israel, so they can be numbered among his redeemed covenant people. And so for Jesus to be a true and faithful Israelite, he had to be circumcised. He had to keep God's law. For him to be your Savior and my Savior, he had to be circumcised. He had to keep God's law. So on the eighth day, it was fulfilled that Jesus was circumcised. The foreskin snipped off. This newborn babe crying out in pain, blood flowing, the blood of the newborn Son of God, the blood of God who has taken upon himself our human nature, so that he could redeem us, buy us back in both body and soul, So he could sanctify you through your baptism into his death and resurrection and set you apart as God's holy people, the people of God's new covenant, who have the blessing of God in Christ resting upon you because God has put his name on you. A male Jewish baby was named on the eighth day following his birth. We have the account of this in John chapter 1, or Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist was circumcised and given his name. But the name of Jesus is the name above all other names, Scripture says. The name of Jesus is a special name. What it means is Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. We read that in the Gospel of St. Matthew when Gabriel appears to Joseph, who is troubled by Mary's pregnancy and wants to break off the engagement, the betrothal. And the angel appears to Matthew and says, "Don't be afraid. That which is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. She has not been with another man. She's going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, Yeshua, Jesu, this is the name of the Lord your God who came in your flesh to take upon himself, your humanity, so that he could suffer and die, so that he could bear your sorrows, feel your pains, so that he could gather you from your lost and straying ways and bring you back to God, bring you to the baptismal font in which the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit were placed upon you. Bring you to his altar where he gives you to eat and drink of his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. He shall be called Jesus, for he is the one who saves you from all of your sins. Maybe on this New Year's Eve, about 5.5 hours to go, until we enter the year 2013, you can look back on the past year. You can look back on the triumphs of your year, the good times, the good things, the happy times. You can look back on your joys, but you can probably also look back upon your sorrows, your sicknesses, your losses, maybe the death of someone you love. You can also look back upon times that you have failed God. No, I can do that. I don't have to look back a year. I can do that earlier this afternoon. Because, like you, I daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. We deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. We deserve his wrath. We deserve his judgment, his condemnation. But that is not what God gives us in giving us his Son. In giving you Jesus to die for you, to be resurrected for you, to be present for you in the gospel, in the means of grace, in the sacrament this evening, God gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. He names you as righteous and holy for the sake of the name of Jesus placed on you in your baptism. He looks upon you with love and with delight and calls you his son, his daughter, for Jesus' sake. In this evening's epistle, we read, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, have clothed yourselves in Christ," just like Emmy put on her vestment, and I put on my vestments before this service, just as maybe you put on a jacket or a sweater or earrings or a ring on your fingers, shoes on your feet. All who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek. Jesus took care of the distinctions. There is neither slave nor free. Jesus took care of the distinctions. There is neither male nor female. You are all sons of God. Sons who get the promises. Sons who get the inheritance. Sons who get the bounty of all God's blessings. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For you are all one in Christ. So the distinctions, as far as God is concerned and our relationship with God, are erased. Now again, not in our life in this world, because I look around and I see an equal number of male and female here. But only a Jewish male could be circumcised. Look though, you who are women have been baptized. The rite, the sacrament that replaced circumcision, is for you too. You share equally in God's grace. So again, in terms of our relationship with God, no male, no female, no slave, no free, no Jew, no Greek, you could say no Republican, no Democrat, you are all one in Christ, because there is only Christ and those who belong to Him. So, as you begin a new year in just a few hours, Jesus goes with you. None of us know what lies ahead of us in the year to come. None of us know whether we'll be here a year from now or whether we will be here 6 hours from now. But we do know this, that God has placed His saving name upon us, the name of which you are reminded at the conclusion of the divine service in these words: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." And as God tells Moses, "So My name shall be put upon the people of Israel, and you are the new Israel in Christ Jesus. You wear God's name, and He will bless you in the year ahead, in your life ahead in this world, and for all eternity to come, for the sake of Jesus, who has saved you from your sin." Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.